Our first scripture reading today comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses, and I'm going to be reading from the Message paraphrase. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't, for the life of them, figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing from them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed up by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved." Our second reading comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in the latter half of the third verse through verse 13, and I'll be returning to the New Revised Standard Version, which is our standard translation that we use in the United Methodist Church. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and in the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in our midst. Flood the space in which we each occupy. Fill the atmosphere, we pray. It is through the power of your Holy Spirit that your word, written down so very long ago, still speaks truth into our lives. And so, O God, I pray that you would use me to convey your word to your people this day. And may it not just fall afresh on our ears, on our minds, but may it penetrate our hearts and move our feet. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, the wait is over. The disciples have been waiting in that upper room in Jerusalem for what or whom Jesus said would be coming. I wonder what the disciples were doing when it finally happened. Were they talking about the weather? What they were going to eat for dinner? Were they reminiscing about this one time in Galilee when Jesus ... Were they lounging around, connecting the dots of all the things Jesus said and did, all the way up to the impact of those very words and deeds, what they were having on that very moment? Were they reading the Torah or praying? Were they taking a nap? What do we know? What we do know is that the disciples were all gathered together in one place with a common faith and mission. In any case, the Message paraphrase puts it like this: without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it was coming from. I love that Eugene Peterson, the writer of the Message paraphrase, chose the word gale, G-A-L-E, to describe it. Gale is a strong wind, a burst of sound, especially laughter. A more direct translation describes the wind as violent. Yet this wind does not breed destruction and chaos. It creates something altogether different. It creates unity. The passage tells us, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit starts to spread, and the disciples begin speaking in different languages as the Spirit leads them. Mark Thiessen for National Geographic writes in his article, "Here's what it's like to be inside a wildfire. A fire acts like a living organism. The same way a plant spreads its seeds, a fire creates wind to spread its embers. A fire causes hot air and smoke to rise rapidly, pulling in air along the ground to replace it. This creates a wind that will push the fire along, which creates a self-perpetuating cycle of fire that is impossible to stop. This wind helps the fire race through forests and neighborhoods, launching embers at everything that could burn. To make everything worse, as the air temperature increases, the relative humidity drops, which dries out the vegetation and makes it catch fire more easily." In the article's accompanying video, Thiessen says, "As you see this force of nature just tearing through the forest, you feel really small and insignificant. At the same time, you feel like you're getting a little up-close glimpse of something that's been going on for millions of years." Jewish pilgrims from all over are gathered in Jerusalem for the festival. Excuse me. At the sound of this gale force, this violent wind that spreads like wildfire, the Holy Spirit, the pilgrims come running. To their complete astonishment, they hear these Galileans, followers of Jesus, speaking in the languages of people who just moments before were scattered across the holy city. Their language. They understood what they were saying, these Galileans. The disciples are speaking of the mighty works of God. This is so bizarre. The pilgrims, they think the disciples are drunk. Peter comes to their defense. "We're not drunk." And he shares these beautiful words from Joel, which is a book in the Old Testament of the Bible. God says there, "I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people, sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, and whoever calls out to me for help will be saved." 1 Corinthians 12, the second reading for today, is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 12, he expands on this. Paul talks about how this gale force, this violent wind, this Holy Spirit bestows upon believers a plethora of different gifts. The passage concludes, "In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, Jews and Greeks, slave and free, people from different backgrounds, different levels of life experience, who view the world through a lens of different genders, religions, socioeconomic statuses, or the lack thereof, languages, different perspectives, and different stories to tell. People who have more things they probably disagree on than they share in common. They are diverse. Yet the Spirit comes upon them and unites them. They are many different people, but they are one body. The Spirit rapidly spreads to the people gathered in Jerusalem. Its wind pushes the fire along through the people, the neighborhoods burning within everyone it touches. It's like a self-perpetuating cycle of fire that is impossible to stop. And the more the fire burns, the more the people around it become consumed and catch fire more easily. It's the beginning of Jesus' commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching everything he commanded from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 seems such a long way from the world we're living in. A pandemic, unemployment, bankruptcy, homeschooling, confusion and fear, the continued politicization of seemingly every institution and every life experience, murder hornets, locusts, tornadoes, and an ever-growing list of African Americans dying senseless, violent deaths at the hands of the powerful and the privileged, protests, so much more. And that's all on the heels of the destructive kind of wildfires in Australia, which left behind scorched earth, injured kangaroos and koalas and the like. The world feels so broken and dissonant at times. And though I am not convinced that our world is all bad, it can be easy, especially on a week like the one we have just been through, to get disheartened. And as powerful as the chaos and destruction may feel, how much more powerfully can God act when believers are patient in the waiting, making ourselves available to play our part in the story God is writing? You see, we may be tempted in our current climate to assume the very worst of each other, but God assumes the very best of us, that we are all worth dying for. At many times and in many places, God has demonstrated to us that he shows no partiality. There's been no greater instance of this than when Jesus died on the cross for the sins of many, for the sins of all. Not just the powerful, the rich, the privileged, not just the well-educated or so-called enlightened, not just citizens of a particular country, not just one skin tone, and on and on and on. God shows no partiality in his love for us and willingness to sacrifice himself for us. And neither should we. Instead, we should listen for God, call out to God in the midst of our circumstance. For if we do, God will save us. And that salvation shall cause us to see the world in a different light, one filled with promise, as the body of Christ steps forward in faith to speak out against that which divides, to fight for and bring awareness to that which unites. What does that look like for you? Well, the disciples didn't know the answer to that question either as they waited in that upper room until they opened themselves up to the possibility of what God could do if they made themselves available. May God's Spirit blow through us like wildfire, my friends, and unite us as instruments of peace and justice, reconciliation, unity, forgiveness and grace, love. Amen.